Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do I take care of my mommy, my grandma, my pop, my grandpop, my spouse, my wife, my husband, my best friend, my whoever, as they get older and the issues of frailty, cognitive decline, and loss of independence take over their lives. How do I do that? It's the question I've been asking for over 25 years, 19 years here on KFBK. It's a question that people don't want to answer. It's a question that people don't want to deal with. It's a question that people make up simplistic, stupid answers to. And we're going to talk about some of those today, and we're going to talk about how you can actually make a difference in somebody's life. If you don't care that you could lose your house to the cost of long-term care, if you don't care that you could lose all your money, I had somebody in my office the other day that has been taking care of a loved one and has already gone through $200,000. In taking care of their loved one, they have lost their job and can no longer make house payments on their own house. And yet they sat in my office trying to figure out whether or not it was worth their time, effort, and trouble to take the steps necessary to make sure that they could end that nightmare. If somebody in your family is getting older, if somebody in your family is becoming less independent, is becoming more frail, is going through cognitive decline, dementia, in other words, folks, then you need to listen. And then you need to actually do something. Sitting around and losing everything, if that's your answer to, I'm going to take care of long-term care, or if your answer is the secret hope, which is that person will die before it gets worse, having my coffee here this morning to wake up. Ah, that's good. I love Pete's coffee. So anyhow, then this show is not for you. If you just don't care, if you're okay with spending everything and losing everything and taking junk advice and listening to every one of Job's advisors on the face of the planet, then this show is not for you. If you would like to preserve what you've worked a lifetime, not lose it, not fall prey to every wind and doctrine that's floating around out there, then listen to the next hour, because I'm going to talk loudly, plainly, about what really happens to people when they begin to face this. And some of you are going to say, I don't care. Then don't care. But if you care about your mom or dad or your spouse, if you care about what you've worked 50 years for, then pay attention. And then when you're done, get off your you-know-what and do something about it. Good morning. My name is Bob Scrivano, your host here for 19 years on Assets and Aging. And glad to have you with us. Celebrated my 72nd birthday last year, so I am now one of the frail elderly. You can tell it in my voice. I used to have a good voice, and now my voice is not so good anymore. I'm just being facetious. So I'm one of you. I've been one of you for a long time. I've been collecting Social Security for a while. And every day I'm confronted with people who think that this is not real or that somehow it's going to go away, and I'm telling you, it's not. So today, get a pencil and paper out, unless you're driving, take notes, take contacts, and get involved. Okay, here we go. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, not me. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County that allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction. What else? Again, everything I talk about here is my opinion only. My opinion is based on 25 years of doing this, probably longer than anybody else. There aren't many people I can think of that have been doing this longer than I have. The problem with this now, folks, is everybody and his uncle is in this. I had somebody come in the other day that had contacted two organizations, both of them phony nonprofits, one in San Francisco and one in San Diego. The one in San Diego just wants to sell them an annuity, and the one in the Bay Area just sues people. They were trolling for a lawsuit, hoping that his mom had been injured somewhere. And it was hard getting through to him because over and over and over again, he kept saying, but they say here, but I'd drag out regulations and go, yeah, but here's what the regulations say. Well, then why did they put that in here? Because they're trying to make money off of misinformation. So let's talk about real information. How do you contact me, by the way? Write this down. The easiest way to get a hold of me is my phone number, 800. I'm in Sacramento, but it's an 800 number. It's okay. Use it. Because I have, you know, when I started doing this, my 800 number goes back to MCI days. Remember when you used to, it used to matter what area code you were in and the long distance calls and all that? In today's world with cell phones, we don't have that anymore. You could move here from Massachusetts and keep your same phone number. But I have an 800 number, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. You can call me, you can get help, you can ask questions, you can get to a workshop. My next workshop is going to be on, I'm looking it up here, August the 5th. So my next workshop is August the 5th. So you're going to want to not, you're going to want to make sure you get there. And one of the ways you get there is by just calling me and making a reservation. You can also go to my website. Assets and Aging, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. You can email me at bob@assetsandaging.com. You can follow me on Twitter. You can ask me a question on my website. You can listen to my podcast every Wednesday live at noon. You can get all kinds of information off my website. You can listen to my archived radio shows, my blog, which will soon be up and posted. You can do all kinds of things. My blog is going to be called The Daily Outrage, and you're going to love it. You can buy my book, Navigating Frailty. You don't have my book? Why? A Family Guide to Navigating Frailty. It's $15. You can buy it ebook version only on my website, and you can get it for Kindle, Nook, or PDF, so you can download it to your computer, and then you can print it out if you want. It's $15. Buy my book. It'll answer a lot of your questions. So lots of ways to contact me, lots of ways to get information. The best way is just call me and say help. Okay, let's start with a premise. The premise, and by the way, you're going to hear all kinds of junk information from all kinds of people. I'm going to be talking about some of that. But let's start with a premise. We're all going to get older. Your mom's going to get older. Your dad's going to get older. Guess what? You're going to get older. Parts of your body are going to cease working. You may, you know, lose a kidney or a gallbladder. You may have artificial knees. Your back may go bad. Your mind may go bad. You just may become more frail, harder to walk, harder to think, harder to get around. All those kinds of things. I still play golf. I've played golf since I was in high school. I used to be a 2 handicap. I'm not a 2 handicap anymore. Why do you think that is? It's because I'm older, and I'm not as flexible, and I'm not as strong, and I don't have as much stamina. How many of you remember walking 18 holes carrying your clubs growing up in Phoenix when it was 105 degrees? Can't do that anymore. Have limitations, and those limitations are going to continue to grow for me, for all of you, and for the people that you love. at some point, every one of us will become dependent on someone else. Every one of us will become dependent in one way or another on someone else. When that happens, pardon me, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready to bear the cost? How much does it cost? I had somebody in my office this week, the person that's already lost $200,000, who was paying $17,000 a month for home care. If you think that's unusual, ask around. Assisted living, $5,000 to $8,000 a month. Nursing homes, $8,000 to $15,000 a month. So if you don't think that getting old and losing independence costs money, you're just not paying attention. So let's go through myths that can hurt. This was actually a newsletter back from February. If you haven't signed up for my e-newsletter, you should. It's free. But this is a newsletter I sent out last February, and I ran across it looking for something else, and I'm going to cull from it this week. I've added a couple things to it. A little more coffee. Wake up here. And let's start with this. I want to read to you from the beginning of this newsletter, and then I'll go from there. With rare exceptions, every person with whom I've ever met who either has a loved one in a nursing home or in need of one or some form of long-term care has begun the conversation by saying something akin to, "We have heard that there is nothing we can do." Oh, my lands, I am sick and tired of hearing that. If somebody has told you there's nothing you can do, you need to stand up and leave their office immediately. Of course there's something you can do. Or they say, "Our family's fate is sealed. What other steps could we possibly take?" Something like that. Then inevitably, some piece of misinformation will spring from their mouths. Some have information that would have been correct in the past but no longer is. Others have made egregious assumptions. Some are convinced that they know how it all works because they've done hours worth of research on Google. God, please be careful of research on Google when it comes to long-term care stuff. Still others seem simply that they're being lied to with alarming regularity by the professionals and friends in their employ and personal lives. I had somebody call me the other day about something, and they started saying what their bookkeeper or accountant said, and I said, "Well, with all respect to your accountant, they have no idea what they're talking about, and they shouldn't open their mouth." Because the accountant was full of myths, but because it was their accountant, they believed it. Whatever the case, myths and falsehoods are unmistakably rampant. So let me go through, I'm going to spend the rest of this show, I'm going to go through some of the myths and falsehoods that cause people to lose everything, that cause people to get the wrong kind of care, that cause people to believe there's nothing they can do, that causes people to make foolish decisions based on myths they've heard. You should write these down. If you can't write them down now, after this show is put up on my website, which won't be very long, go back there and listen to it, and you can stop and go it, and write these down, because if you've heard this stuff, you're at risk of losing everything. Now, you can ignore it at your own peril, or you can say, "Gosh, maybe I better go see Bob and make sure that doesn't happen." You know, there's a new show on called Better Call Saul. Well, Saul is kind of a shady character, and a lot of you have called Saul. Why don't you come in and get the answers? So let's start with the first one. This is a myth. I don't have to worry about any of this. I have a trust. I don't have to worry about any of this. I have a trust. My answer to that is, so what? A trust can be one of the most harmful things we run into when it comes to long-term care planning. "Well, Bob, it was drawn by an attorney. It avoids probate. What do you mean?" Again, remember, everything we talk about here is my opinion only. Trust have words in them. And words can either be empowering or they can destroy. They can be negative. They can be harmful. Well, like what, Bob? Like what? Like what? Do most trusts are designed to deal with what issue? This is a test. Let's see if you can pass the test. Have another sip of coffee. Let your brain go to work, as Poirot would say, the little gray cells. That's right. How can a trust are designed to deal with probate? We don't want probate. That's a good thing. Nobody wants to go through probate, or very, very, not very often. But when probate happens, that means you're what? Dead. See, in my world, I don't care about death, because dead people are generally not receiving long-term care. They're generally dead. So here's my question for you. Get your trust out and look for all the frailty language that it has. Well, what do you mean, Bob? Well, what happens if I don't die? What happens if I don't die? Well, what kinds of things should we be looking for? Well, there's lots of things. And again, these are in no particular order, and they're my opinion only. Okay? For instance, if you're married, who can amend the trust? Well, Mildred and I can amend the trust. We're the settlers of the trust. Mildred and I get to amend the trust. Really? That's a good thing, right? Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. Mildred and I get to amend the trust. Okay. What happens when Dad has a massive stroke and he's a vegetable? Or Mom develops dementia and she doesn't know what planet you're on? She's on. Now who can amend the trust? Well, Mildred and I can't. Well, yeah, but there's no more Mildred in you. You're both alive, but there's only you, because Mildred has severe dementia, and it says it takes both of you. Well, I'm a little confused. I'm a little confused. It says it takes both of you. You're both alive. Remember, nobody died. You're both alive, but one of you is not signing anything. So how do you amend the trust? Well, I don't know. Well, don't you think you ought to know? Don't you think you ought to know whether either husband or wife could amend the trust in certain cases? What if Mom has dementia and Dad? These are all hypotheticals, but let's go through them. What if Mom has dementia and Dad dies first? Who gets everything? Stop and think about my scenario for a minute. Mom and Dad are, Mom develops dementia. She doesn't know who's going to die first. Everybody thinks Mom's going to die first, but at 1/3 of the cases, the well spouse dies first. So what happens if Mom dies first? Dad dies first. Remember, Mom has dementia. Well, everything belongs to Mom, and she doesn't know what planet she lives on. Might that be a bad idea? It might be. Maybe it's a great idea, but it might be a bad idea. Does your trust allow you to deal with that scenario? Does your trust allow for the transmutation of community property? Go look that word up. It's an important concept in long-term care planning. Does your trust allow either person to amend the trust? I don't know. Go find out. You better look. If you can't find it, you ought to be asking why it's not there. Or get in to see me. Does your trust allow for unlimited gifting? Well, Bob, of course I can gift my... Yeah, but hang on a second. Let's say you're single. And you go in, let's just say you have a house. You have a house. You're single. And you go into the home. You have a house. You're single. You develop dementia, whatever. And we don't want you to have that house anymore because you're in a nursing home. And we're getting you on Medi-Cal. Or maybe VA benefits, and we don't want, somebody doesn't want, you, okay, you got the scenario. There may be times when I don't want you to own that house. So where does it say that you're single, you love your two children, and we want to be able to give the house to your two children, or have somebody create an irrevocable trust and transfer it to that? Where does it say in your trust that your trustee can make unlimited gifts? Where does it say in your trust that the trustee can engage in self-dealing? Where does it say any of that? Where does it say that when applying for public benefits like Medi-Cal or VA or other things, your agent can do, your trustee can do certain things with your property, like gift it or transfer it or sell it or lease it or move it to a different form of trust, or all of the kinds of things that are done every day on a daily basis by people who do this for a living? It's really interesting to look at the documents that are usually done by an elder law attorney. I'm not one, but by an elder law attorney or by an estate planning attorney. You'll see two completely different emphases. The estate planning attorney is looking primarily at what happens when I die. The elder law attorney is looking primarily at what happens if I don't die. And your documents must address both. Do your documents address both? Does your trust have frailty language in it in addition to dying language? Does your trust allow your successor trustee to do certain things even if you're still alive? Well, my successor trustee doesn't take over until I'm dead. No. If you can't be the trustee anymore because of disability or dementia, then your successor trustee, you're still alive. And one of your kids may become the trustee of the trust. What does it allow them to do, and more importantly, not do? If you can't answer all these questions in 5 minutes, you have a problem. You should know the answer. What about your powers of attorney? Oh, I have powers of attorney, Bob. I have them. I have powers of attorney. Which kind? What do you mean, which kind? Well, there's basically two. There's one for property, and there's one for healthcare. Healthcare lets us make healthcare decisions. Property lets us deal with things that aren't in the trust, like who can do taxes, who can lease my house, who can take care of my pets, who can deal with funeral stuff, who can deal with contracts, who can deal with lawsuits, who can deal with all kinds of stuff. Powers of attorney, a good power of attorney is 20 to 25 pages long. What does it say? Well, I don't know. Does your trust say you can use a power of attorney to amend? I don't know. You better know. Is your power of attorney springing or non-springing? I don't know. I didn't know there were springs involved. I know what a slinky is. Well, you better find out. It's a huge difference. I'm not going to tell you all the details, but you better find out whether your powers of attorney are springing or not springing, because they could have a huge impact on your ability to protect what you have. And I'm not going to go into all of that because I don't have time to go into all of that. My point is, what do your documents say? If you're not sure, get in for a review. If you're not sure, go look. If you can't figure it out, then the answer is they probably don't say it. Because remember, when you can't speak, when you no longer have a voice because of disability or incapacity, the only thing that speaks for you are your documents, and they better be good. They better say what needs to be said, so that if we're someone, me or someone else, is trying to preserve what you worked a lifetime for, it can be done. Documents speak when you can't speak, and they not only must address the issues of dying, they must address the issues of frailty, the issues of almost dying, the issues of incapacity. If you're not sure, give me a call today. Get in to see me. Get to one of my workshops. My next one's coming up on the 5th of August. But take steps today to make sure you have the answer to the very first question. What do my documents say? I don't know. Give me a call during the break, 800-999-8007, and let's sit down together. The consultation is free. I'll be back in just a few minutes with more myths about long-term care planning. Don't go away. Welcome back to Assets and Aging. Glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. 800-999-8007 is my number, 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. Or you can, and on that, you can email me, you can sign up for an upcoming workshop, you can get information, you can listen to podcasts, you can read my blog, you can do all the things you need to do on that website. One of the things you can do on that website is buy my book. Scroll down, buy my book, because all of the things we're talking about today are addressed in that book. The issues of frailty, the myths that you're going to hear. So, by the way, before I get started, and I want to continue on with the myths. Again, my number, 800-999-8007. If taking care of your family as they become more frail is of concern to you, then you have reached the right place. Somebody sent me this the other day. I don't know where I found this. I just liked it. And before we move on, I just thought I'd read this. I thought you might get a kick out of it. Hilarious things my mother taught me. And those of us of a certain age are going to recognize these. One, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. Heard that. Number two, my mother taught me religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. Number three, my mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Number four, my mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. Number five, my mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. Number six, my mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear, we all heard this when we were younger. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Well, I'm still trying to figure that one out, but that's okay. Seven, and I heard it a lot. Seven, my mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. Eight, my mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. Just think about that for a minute. Nine, my mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? Well, again, just stick with that for a minute. And 10, my mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until all that spinach is gone. Somebody sent me those, and I just liked them, and it brought back a lot of memories and chuckles, and I hope it brought you a chuckle. So we're talking about myths and falsehoods and things people have heard when it comes to long-term care planning. And the one we talked about the last half hour was documents, was the concept of I have a trust. And somehow in saying I have a trust or I have powers of attorney, that will allow us to protect what we own. Not necessarily. In fact, in many times, it causes us no end of grief. I know several attorneys who wind up having to go to court to protect assets, even though the family had trust and powers of attorney because of what they said. Okay, so let's talk about some other myths that go, and these are all myths. There's a five-year look back. You can't do anything for 5 years, Bob. I read it. I went to a website. It was on Google. It's a lie. And yet, I've been to workshops in Sacramento. I've got attorneys. I've got printed material from attorneys and from workshops saying that there's a five-year look back. You think I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. I'm holding the thing right here in my hand from a veteran service officer in I'm not going to tell you where, who says that. Okay, only he says it in regard to the next one. There's a three-year look back. So in this veteran service officer's stuff that he hands out to vets, I'll quote it. VA has little or no authority to compel a claimant to provide evidence from a bank account or the like, such as the three-year look back. There is no three-year look back. That's from a veteran service officer. There's no five-year look back. There's no three. There's no 30-month look back. There's not. It's actually a 30-month look forward. I don't have time to go into it, but it's another myth. Here's another one. Well, Bob, in order to get a Medi-Cal in a nursing home, or in order to get home care Medi-Cal, or in order to get PACE Medi-Cal, or the waiver program Medi-Cal, you can only have $2,000. That's not true. You can have a car. You can have an IRA. You can own a business. You can have a pension. It's a myth. If you're married, you can only have about $120,000. Not true. By court order, there's actually no limit. Do you understand how all of these things can be used to manipulate people into doing other stuff? The guy that came in this week that was working with this supposed nonprofit in San Diego, all they wanted to do was take all of his mom's money and put it in an annuity on which they would have made a $24,000 commission. He said, something just told me it wasn't right, but I didn't know why. In fact, when he gave me the name of the company, I think he was stunned that I knew it immediately and knew everything about them and went to their website. You have to get a divorce. No, you don't. There's actually an attorney that does estate planning that actually wrote an article once. There are lots of places you can read this on the internet that will tell you you have to get a divorce. No, you don't. No, you don't. The state will take your home away. No, they won't. The state doesn't take houses. The state doesn't, the next myth was the state will take your money away. No, they don't. The state doesn't take. They go to court and they file a claim, and if you don't pay the claim, then they sue you. I just had a family we helped that had gotten an estate claim for over $300,000 from the state of California. And it's because when somebody dies who's been in a nursing home, the state, it's called the third party recovery branch. These are the people who come after your money after you're dead, or the family. And they send them a letter, and they send out a questionnaire when somebody dies. And it's one page long. And somebody had filled out the questionnaire wrong. They had simply filled out the questionnaire wrong. And so as a result of filling out the questionnaire wrong, the state had sent them a $300,000 estate recovery bill. We got it taken care of by just saying the estate questionnaire was filled out incorrectly. The state doesn't take your money away. They have to go through a long process. They don't just swoop in and clean out the bank account when you die. That's a myth, and that myth is used to scare people. Now, can the state file a claim against your estate? Yes, it's very limited now. It's limited to the probate estate. Can the state then sue you? Yes, they can in certain limited cases. But the state doesn't come in and take your house away. Now, that said, we want to make sure that your house and your assets and the things you own are protected. and that you don't wind up with a probate estate, which a state can go after, that everything is protected, everything is done correctly, you know, all the income is dealt with. Yes, there's stuff you want to do. But this fear-mongering about the state is going to come in and take your house away. They don't take houses away. And in fact, there's a Medi-Cal form called a DHCS-7077 that's a form that anybody applies for Medi-Cal has to sign. And in the middle of that form, it says, the transfer of a home for a single or married person will not create ineligibility for Medi-Cal benefits. There's lots of ways to protect a home, folks. Simple, easy ways to protect a home and protect other assets. As long as you have a will, all will be okay. No, it won't. In fact, the will is the one thing that would guarantee a Medi-Cal estate recovery, because the state can only recover against your probate estate now, and wills go through probate. So, no, that's not going to work. As long as you have a power of attorney, all will be okay. We talked about that early on. No, it depends on what it says. In fact, some powers of attorney actually create problems because they forbid you to protect assets. They forbid you to take the actions because of the way they're worded to protect what you have. Let's see. You cannot own a business. Yes, you can. In fact, businesses are specifically excluded. You absolutely can own a business. Absolutely can own a business. You cannot own a rental. Yes, you can. Bob, I heard that rentals aren't considered a business. They're not. That doesn't mean you can't own a rental. I'm really confused, Bob. I know you should be confused, because that's why these are called myths. And people play on these myths to confuse you. You've Googled all of these myths sometimes if you've ever looked for care for a loved one, and you've heard it from all kinds. I can't tell you how many workshops I've been thrown out of. You know, all these trust mill workshops where you can buy a trust for $399 to $499, that's where most people hear all this junk. I can't tell you how many of those I've been thrown out of by asking questions. When somebody tells you something, there's always a way you can know whether they're correct or not. So when somebody says to you, whatever, you can't keep a house, you're going to take, you know, or whatever it is they tell you, you can only have this, there's a 5-year look back, there's a whatever, here's the question you always ask. And the answer will tell you immediately whether to leave or stay. And the question is this. Somebody says there's a 5-year look back. Your question is, where does it say that? What do you mean, where does it say that? Where does it say that? You just said there's a 5-year look back. Where does it say that? And you're going to get an answer that says, well, it's in a regulation. Well, where's the regulation? What do you mean? Well, you said there's a 5-year look back. So where is it? Where's the regulation? And then they say, well, I read it somewhere, I heard it somewhere, I went to it, and then turn around and leave because they don't have a clue what they're talking about. If they can't tell you back up their statement, then leave. You cannot have a funeral plan. Yes, you can. You can only have $1,500 in life insurance. That's not true. You can only be in a state-owned nursing home. And the state of California doesn't own any nursing homes other than the veterans' homes. The veterans' homes are owned by the state of California, but not nursing homes. By the way, how many of you knew that the state veterans' homes had the same recovery provisions as Medi-Cal? Bet you didn't know that, did you? You have to be in a Medi-Cal bed. There's no such thing as a Medi-Cal bed. Medi-Cal doesn't have beds. It's one of the things used by some people. Oh, you don't want to be in a nursing home. They're going to put you in a Medi-Cal bed. No such thing as a Medi-Cal bed. All the beds in a nursing home are the same. It's the same mattress, same room, same food, same nurses, same everything, same bingo day. Somebody tells you that, you don't want to go there. They put you in a Medi-Cal bed. That sounds like something down in the basement with the rats. There's no such thing as a Medi-Cal bed. If you're confused by all of this, and you've been told this stuff, then call me. Get in to see me, and we'll make sure that we debunk all the stuff you've been given that is causing you to be frozen and not plan because you're so confused by all the junk you've heard. And there's a lot of junk. You have to cash in all your investments and usually followed by, and buy our product. We've got this special product. We have this special thing. No, you don't. First of all, IRAs are exempt, folks, for Medi-Cal. For the VA, they count. You got to treat IRAs differently for the VA. But for Medi-Cal, IRAs, we don't care about IRAs so much. You don't have to cash in all your investments. That's a myth. You can just give it all away. Technically, that's probably somewhat correct. But that also comes with huge downside liability, like loss of control of an asset, inadvertent disinheritance, all kinds of things. Okay? You can only have one car. That's not true. You could never qualify Medi-Cal, you have too much. What is too much? Define too much. That's not true. There is no such thing as too much. In fact, with a court order, the amount is unlimited. There is an asset limit. No, there's not. No, there really isn't. There are asset guidelines, but not an asset limit. This was my favorite. You have to spend down. What does that mean? You've heard that. You have to spend down. Tell me what that means. Does that mean you have to bury it in the ground? Does that mean you have to give it all to the nursing home? Does that mean you have to give it to your brother-in-law, Fred? Does that mean you have to give it to the salesman who wants to sell you some product? What does that mean? By the way, there's no such thing. Spend down doesn't exist in any of the law. You will never go to a nursing home. That's the most dangerous one of all. Because there's 110,000 people in nursing homes as I sit here and talk in California. Every single one of them and every single member of their family said it will never happen. There are 5 million people in the United States, maybe 10, we don't know exactly, with dementia, with Alzheimer's actually. And every single one of them and every single one of their family members are in denial and hoping it's going to get better and said it will never happen. And yet, it happened. Medicare will pay for a nursing home. No, it doesn't. Well, Bob, I heard they pay for 100 days. No, not really. They pay for rehab, but they don't pay for a nursing home. And almost nobody gets 100 days. And then there's all kinds of rules and regulations you have to meet first before they even pay for that limited amount. So basically, Medicare does not pay for nursing homes. Your Medicare supplement will pay for a nursing home. No, it doesn't. The VA will pay for a nursing home. No, it doesn't. VA doesn't pay for nursing homes. And this is my favorite myth. It's all hopeless. It's not hopeless. I take it back. It is hopeless. If you don't do anything, if you don't take any action, if you don't make any decisions, if you don't move forward, if you don't do the things that are necessary, then yeah, it's all hopeless. It's completely hopeless. If you're just going to sit there like a lump when this is over, and you're going to go, well, I know, none of that's going to happen to me, then yeah, it's hopeless. You're the one that's going to wind up losing everything because it is hopeless then. But with action, with positive steps, you know, you have the authority to take care of this. You have the authority to take care. I don't know how to say this a better way. You have the authority to take care of this. You can do this. You just have to go do it. I don't know what else to tell you. You just have to go do it. You have the authority to make changes in your life so that everything you have is protected. You have the authority to make changes in your life so that you'll be able to make, or somebody that you love will be able to make, the decisions that are necessary, the positive decisions, to protect what you've worked a lifetime for. There's a psychological phrase called folie à deux, and it's the folly of two. And the folly of two is a psychological term, but it also applies in my world. It takes the folly of two to do nothing, and that is the person that's ill, who doesn't believe they are, or doesn't have the capability to know that they are, and the person taking care of them who says, it's not so bad. It's not going to get worse. It's going to get better. The folly of two quite often involves a child. A child who won't take responsibility for their mom or dad, or won't take responsibility for the fact that dad's dementia is slowly killing mom. There's almost always two people. One of them may not be able to help it because they are demented, but it always takes at least one other person to sit there and say, it's not that bad, it's not that bad, I don't want to deal with this, there's too much guilt involved, it's too hard, I'm having to make decisions I don't want to make, I don't want to change mom's diapers, I don't want anything, I can't do this, therefore I'll just continue to be deluded into believing that maybe it won't get so bad. Is that happening in your family? I don't know, you have to answer it for your family. I can't answer it for your family. I've seen it in my family with relatives and friends. There's an answer. The answer is don't do it anymore. Don't get into the myths. Take the choice of making a choice and doing something positive. Grab the authority that you have and get out and deal with this. And stop pretending that you have no choice, you're locked in, you're a victim of all these myths. But you're not a victim of all these myths. You have a choice. Remember, it's never too late to make good decisions for your family. So don't wait. As I've been saying for 19 years here, no one needs to lose everything just because nearing the end of life they needed care. No one needs to lose everything just because at the end of life we had the wrong disease. If we have heart disease or cancer, everybody goes, "Aw, isn't that sad? Let's call the doctor." If somebody is frail and falling and demented, everybody backs up because it's really hard to deal with. I want to encourage you today that there's help available, and I'm it. If you want to make a difference in your life or your family's life, you have the authority to take the bold step and make a phone call. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can make a difference. You can make a difference. That's the title of this show. Don't get involved anymore in the folie à deux. Be the one that breaks the cycle of myth-taking, myth-making, myth-believing, no longer agree to the delusion. Step forward and take responsibility for what you're doing and for what's happening in your family. And understand that there's hope. You have the authority to do stuff. You have the authority to see me. You have the hope to be able to do this. Hope sometimes, hope's usually a negative word because most people don't act on that hope. You have the ability to act on it. 800-999-8007. Or go to my website, assets, ASSETS, and aging, aging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can send me an email. You can listen to a podcast. You can read a blog. You can buy my book, which talks about a lot of this stuff. And then you can set an appointment. The appointment is free. Bring in your stuff. Bring in mom and dad. Bring in the brothers and sisters. Bring in everybody. But make a difference in your life and the life of that person that you love and care about. 800-999-8007. I want to tell you what a privilege it is to be able to do this. I don't know how long I'll be able to do this. I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can. I believe it's important. I hope you will take your family situation seriously and seek the help that's available to you. 800-999-8007. Well, for Assets and Aging, my company, and me, Bob Scrivano, your host here, I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope to see you soon, and I hope together we can reason and find solutions. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week.